We're going to continue our series, Real Questions, Thoughtful Answers. And it was December 23rd, 1982, when Tommy Pagog left an evening party having way too much to drink, refusing to let his friends drive him home. He was only 1 mile from his house at this party where he was at. And so he thought, I'll be fine. It's just a mile. And he assured his friends, and he went on his way. Well, on the way home on that long mile road, his automobile swerved across the center line and hit head-on another car that was coming, driven by 18-year-old Ted Morris. Mr. Morris died shortly after the accident happened. Mr. Pagog, only 16 years old himself, was arrested later for murder after his blood alcohol level registered almost 3 times the legal limit. Ted's parents, Frank and Elizabeth, you might imagine all the emotions that they felt when they got news that their son had been killed in the accident. For 2 years, they dedicated their lives making sure that Tommy would be punished for killing their son. And what they would admit to you is that they didn't just want to see Tommy punished, they also wanted to see him die. And that may be a really extreme illustration to start this morning. Maybe we cannot even begin to empathize with the emotions that the Morrises felt over those 2 years. But we've all been wronged. We've all been hurt. And with that offense comes all kinds of emotion. No matter the cause of the harm, maybe what's more difficult are all the emotional scars that are left behind, and we have to work through those, and we have to deal with those, and we have to find ways to cope with the pain. So our question for today that I want us to reflect on together just for a few moments is this: how can I forgive those who have hurt me? First, let me say this. It is one thing to receive forgiveness from God and to receive forgiveness from someone else that's offering it. It may be difficult at times, but it's one thing to do that. It's another thing, right, to offer forgiveness or to give forgiveness to someone who has caused great harm to us. Maybe one of the greatest spiritual disciplines that God wants to cultivate in our core being is this discipline of forgiveness to others. If you have your Bible or Bible app, I want to invite you to join me in Matthew chapter 18. It's here in Matthew chapter 18 that we find a teaching that many of you are familiar with. It's in verses 15 to 20, where Jesus is instructing his disciples to go directly to someone that has sinned against them. You've heard this. Many of you, right? Go directly to someone that has sinned against you, or in other words, has caused some harm, some pain, an offense upon you. Jesus didn't say, start gossiping about them. Jesus didn't say, vilify them in your mind. Jesus didn't say, bury them in bitterness. Jesus didn't say, belittle them with passive-aggressive behavior. He didn't say those things. He said, go directly to the person who's caused offense or harm. And that's when Peter speaks up. We can always count on Peter, right? To speak up in a hard situation or awkward moment. In verses 21 and 22, Jesus answers or hears Peter's question and then answers it. Peter says, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sinned against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus says, no, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Some translations say 70 times 7. And I believe it's at this point that Jesus kind of sees the looks or expressions on the disciples' faces and can tell there's great confusion. And so he does what he does best. He goes to his favorite teaching tool. He tells a dramatic story. And this story illustrates not just the importance of forgiving once, not just the importance of forgiving twice, but it's a cultivation of forgiveness in our hearts that is willing to continually forgive. And so I want us to do something together that we don't always do. There's a certain attention and respect that comes as we stand before God and we hear and read His Word together. So if you are able, please stand with me with your Bible open to Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to read this story that Jesus tells. Matthew 18, starting in verse 23. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay everything back.' The servant's master took pity on him, and he canceled the debt, and he let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. And he grabbed him, and he began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. And his fellow servant fell to his knees, and he began to beg him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and he had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and they went to tell their master everything that had happened. And then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' And in anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed." And then Jesus says this: "This is how your heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." The word of the Lord. Be seated, please. Maybe you picked up on that dramatic story that forgiveness is of eternal significance to God. And so if we're going to do what at times seems impossible, forgiving those who have harmed us deeply, then I believe we need to partner with God to cultivate within us a forgiving heart to make it possible. And my prayer is that those of you today who may be angry, those of you who may be harboring resentment or bitterness in your mind and heart due to unforgiveness, I pray that you'll begin today the process that is oftentimes slow. It can be painful, but listen, it's always liberating. The process of forgiving someone or a group of people who have harmed you. I want to unpack just a few of the key components of the story that we just read. The story begins with Peter and this question, right? I wanted to come back to it. Peter says, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sinned against me? 7 times? And so Peter offers this suggestion of 7. Have you ever wondered where that comes from? I believe here he's actually asking, what is required of me so that I can be a good Jew? I think that's what he's asking, because you see, there's teachings in Hebrew scripture all over the prophets, especially, for an example, Amos, as he begins his prophecy, the Lord's word is being declared on the neighbors of Israel, at times the enemies of Israel, and God is saying, I'll forgive you 3 times and maybe 4, but then I'm done. Punishment will come. And so rabbis in Jesus' day, they were reading the scripture, they were listening to the word of the Lord and God's declaration upon their neighbors, and they were teaching, literally, that's what we should do. And so if someone sins against you once, twice, 3 times, forgive them. After that, you're done with them. And so that's the Jewish custom, that's the practice. And so Peter, being a good Jew, says, Jesus, how about 7 times? That's more than double what's expected of us. And so I think Peter's actually offering this number thinking Jesus is going to go, wow, that's really generous, Peter. Way to go, dude. Seven times. But Jesus does the exact opposite, right? That's not Jesus' response at all. Instead, Jesus comes back with an outlandish answer to Peter's question. Instead of commending Peter, he radically multiplies his suggestion exponentially. And what I want you to hear is that for Jesus, it's not about an exact number. The intent here is not for us to keep a log of who we've forgiven and how many times we've forgiven them. It's not like, okay, Nate, that's number 38. I've got tally marks here. 38, okay? Halfway through. More than halfway. That's not the intention of Jesus here. It's not an exact number. His intention is the idea of cultivating a heart of forgiveness in our spirits. And so he offers this radical story, this dramatic story that captivates our attention and draws us into the main point. And it's in this story that we read about a king. The king represents God. And the king has a servant who has this overwhelming debt hanging over his head. 10,000 bags of gold. Some scholars say that could be millions and millions of dollars. And others say even more than that, billions and billions of dollars. And you say to yourself, how could a servant of the king pay a debt back like that? Exactly. That's the point. He couldn't. It's a debt that could never be paid. It's an unpayable debt. But the king, representing God and all of his mercy, forgives the debt. Guess what? You and I are that servant. We have a debt that we could never pay back on our own. The sins of the world are too many to reconcile with God. And God says, that's okay. I've forgiven the debt. His mercy abounds, and it is plentiful. And then the servant goes out and finds one of his own. And he demands harshly that that servant pay back a much, much smaller debt that he owes, 100 silver coins. I mean, this is not even close in comparison to what he had owed and what had been forgiven him. And he throws his servant in prison, treats him harshly because he can't pay it back. And I think that's why Jesus' warning at the ending is so sobering. At least I hope it's sobering to us. And I want to read it again, verse 35. Jesus says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. If we treat others the way that the unmerciful servant treated his servant, if we treat them harshly, if we try to hold them hostage, if we try to hang some kind of debt over their head that they're wanting to pay back, but we're not wanting to receive it, if we treat them without mercy, Jesus says here, listen, the Father's mercy will be withheld from you. And I don't know about you, but I need God's mercy. I am dependent upon it. I need his mercy in my life for the sins that I commit that are too many to count. And so Jesus says we should treat others with the same love and mercy that we've received from God. Now, this serious warning can be hard for some of us to accept, because it's a hard teaching, right? Some of you can't fathom what it would look like to forgive the other because of what they've done to hurt you. Maybe it was your reputation at stake. Maybe your innocence was stolen even very early. It was stolen from you. Maybe your trust was shattered in a moment. Maybe your anger and bitterness burns at the thought of the untimely deaths that have happened. Maybe your security was shaken by unhealthy relationships or friendships. And this is just the beginning of the list of the real-life scenarios that we could walk through together. And as we're harmed, as we experience these pains of different kinds, it's hard for us to realize the value of forgiveness, because it can be painful. It can be hard. And sometimes it's a daily decision, right? Don't buy the lie that forgiveness is this one-time decision and then you're done with it, right? Sometimes we wake up every day and go, okay, I forgive you. I forgive this person. Because that's how deep the wound is. And so sometimes it's a daily decision. It's painful, it's difficult, it's hard. But listen, one more time, it's always liberating. Forgiveness leads to freedom. And so as we consider those that are hurting, I want to say this. I hope everyone will hear it. Forgiveness does not mean that there will not be legal or relational or other kinds of consequences as a result of someone's behavior. In addition, forgiving those that have hurt us is without question one of the hardest things that God calls us to do. And frankly, when we've been hurt, when we've been deeply wounded, the feelings of anger and resentment at some levels, and I'm speaking for me, maybe you can relate to this, on some levels that bitterness and that anger, it kind of makes you feel good in a weird way, right? Because we feel like we're in control of something. We feel like we're holding them hostage by not forgiving them. And we feel as if we deserve to be mad and angry, which allows a grudge to fester. And I want you to follow me on this pathway. It allows a grudge to fester, and as that grudge builds, what else rises? Our anger quickly turns to rage, uncontrollable rage, and that unchecked rage quickly turns to resentment and bitterness. And all of that misery, all of that misery we choose because we don't want to let someone off the hook, right? If we go down this road of unforgiveness, and maybe you're already on that road this morning, and I pray that you'll hear this. If you stay on that road or if you choose to go down this road of unforgiveness, it will literally eat us alive from the inside out. I once heard it said that choosing not to forgive is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Right? Do you catch the imagery? We're going to drink the poison and we're going to wait for the other person to die. This is what unforgiveness is like. And the only way I know to avoid that downward spiral, the only way I know to avoid it is to come to this realization. Forgiveness is not about letting people off the hook for wrongs committed, but forgiveness is extending God's love to others despite the wrongs that they've committed. And that's hard. And when we choose forgiveness over bitterness, over misery, we are not only following Jesus to where he's called us to go, but we're also releasing ourselves from self-made prisons. And it's here in that sacred space that you find freedom. You find freedom when you choose forgiveness over bitterness, over misery. And just as Jesus' dramatic story in Matthew 18, it pierces our hearts and it opens our imaginations and it motivates us to forgive as God has forgiven us, we also have real life stories of forgiveness all around us, right? Stories that inspire us to be merciful. And so as we consider forgiveness, and to some of us this may seem really radical, it may seem impossible, but remember this. Whatever that person did to you that caused hurt, it was not right. And especially those of you who were victims of abuse, it's not your fault. Hear me this morning. It was not your fault. And what they did to you was not right. Their actions did not reflect the image of God, whatever it was the person did to harm you. Their actions did not reflect the image of God, but here's the hard part for us sometimes to see. They were created in the image of God. And in their core, somewhere, God resides because they're created in his image. And that's why I believe Jesus calls us to love them. And you might say, man, I can't even fathom going there. I don't like them, and I certainly don't condone what they did to me. I hear you. But here's a little bit of good news. God didn't call us to like them. And he certainly didn't ask us to condone their actions. But he did call us to love them as he has loved us. And that doesn't always mean reconciliation. Sometimes we confuse forgiveness with reconciliation. Those are two different things. Forgiveness does not always lead to reconciliation, especially in our human relationships. That doesn't mean when we forgive, it doesn't mean that there will be some type of lasting relationship. Sometimes it will. But forgiveness, again, is about extending God's love to the other, no matter the wrong that they've committed. And you do that. You do that because you yourself first received mercy. And you release yourself. You release yourself from this self-made prison that somehow we corner ourselves into, and we lock ourselves in this cage of bitterness and rage and misery. And the only way I know out is to forgive. You remember Elizabeth Morris, mother of Ted Morris, who was killed by Tommy Pagog in a drunk driving accident. You remember I told you that her and her husband Frank, they harbored strong feelings of resentment and bitterness for about 2 years after their son had died. And it was a little over 2 years after that had happened that the New York Times interviewed them, and they quoted Elizabeth saying this. She said, "I needed to forgive Tommy because the hate and the bitterness that I was feeling was destroying me. I had to forgive Tommy to save myself." And here's the thing. Tommy Pagog eventually pleaded guilty to manslaughter charges, and he was sentenced to probation. And eventually, Tommy broke that probation and was sentenced to 10 years in prison. Are you getting upset yet? When I was reading this story, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Probation, and he breaks it. Well, Mrs. Morris, she decided to go visit Tommy in prison. And after a few visits, she looks Tommy in the eye and forgives him. But she doesn't stop there. She commits to come see him every once in a while because she wants him to know that she wants to see his life amount to something. She wants to help him find recovery and wholeness and healing. And eventually along this journey, the judge that was involved in that case ordered Tommy to be released on occasion on the weekends to the custody of the Morrises so that he could go to church with them. Imagine that. And today you can find Tommy Pagog often riding in Frank and Elizabeth's car on the way to church, or you might also find him with a seat at their table breaking bread. What a beautiful portrait of forgiveness that doesn't always end up this way. It doesn't always end up with a relationship like this. But when it does, it's so beautiful. The New York Times came back to the Morrises and said, "What is going on? This is too good to be true," or something, right? How could you do this? How could you forgive someone who has hurt you so deeply? And here was their answer. "We were unable to find satisfaction through revenge, so we decided to forgive and try to rebuild his life and our own." You see what they're saying? Once they chose to forgive, they were able to step into the journey of rebuilding and restoration and wholeness for themselves. But you see, here's the thing about God's forgiveness and love. When we choose to forgive and treat others the way that God has treated us, guess what happens sometimes? Not always. You plant the seed of God's love in your offender's life. And sometimes we get the privilege of watching that seed grow and God overwhelming them with his love. And so I encourage us today, may we leave here with the love of the Father in our hearts. And may we recognize the mercy that's been extended to us so that we too can be merciful. Let me pray for us. Father, we find this idea of forgiveness so difficult at times. When we've been wronged, when we've been hurt, it's so hard to let go and to offer forgiveness. So, Father, I just pray your presence over this place, that you would invigorate us with your love, and that you would help us through times of unbelief and struggle. God, we can't do this without you. It's just too hard. So walk with us. Walk with us into the relationships, into the rooms, into the spaces of our lives that need forgiveness. And God, give us your spirit of grace and mercy in those times. We thank you for your mercy and love that is poured out freely over us. And we praise you for that. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and close with this song.